For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, Pashas Matzos. So let's work through the story of Bnei Gad uVnei Reuven. As we are familiar, they come to Moshe with the request, which is eventually granted, that they should be able to settle in the land on the other side of the Jordan. And if I were to start with the question and say, based on everything that you know until now, what, if anything, led them to want to settle there? And was it a positive or a negative?
They were thinking of the fields and the grazing of their cattle.
They were thinking of, that's right. They were thinking of the fields and the cattle. That's correct. And we say this is a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, bad thing put it before their kids.
Generally viewed it in a negative light. So we'll see where the sources of those are. And that
only
is
compared to.
What's that?
Compared to what? Living in a short apartment?
No, I'm saying only as compared to, families. It's not an altogether bad thing.
Okay, let's take a look. Let's take a look at how the...
They've even seen the land. You would think they'd want to see the land before they would make a decision.
True.
It's interesting to me that they've never even seen it.
Very good. So let's take a look. All these things are excellent. Miknerav, so the Torah describes, Miknerav, Hayolivnei Reuven, Uvnei God, Atzumo. The Torah introduces the story by describing the size of their cattle, the significance of their flock. They see this land on the other side of the Yarden, and it is indeed a makom mikneh. It's a fertile land for cattle grazing. And they say to Moshe and to Elazar the Kohen and to all the leaders, and they say, so it's not hiding it from anybody, they say in front of Moshe, Elazar, all the Nisiyim, Ataros v'divon yazer v'nimra v'chashvon v'alalei v'usvom unavo v'omil, with all these lands, Ha'aret asher hiko Hashem l'fnei adaf Yisrael, the land that Hashem just conquered for us, Eretz miknehi v'la avadecha mikneh. It is a land for cattle, and we have cattle. The little spacers, because that's what you would find in the Chumash, as you in the actual Sefer Torah, you often find little spaces. Vayomru, and they said, Imatzanu chein ve'inecha, if indeed we have found favor in your eyes, yuton es ha'aretz hazos v'avadecha l'achuzah, Al ta'avirenu es hayarden. Give us this land, do not make us go across the Yarden. As you pointed out, Chazal found in their claim problems. And the problems stemmed from the mikneh, from the cattle. The Medrash describes in source number 2, V'chein ata motzei b'vnei God u'vnei Reuven. You find that when it comes to the Bnei God and the Bnei Reuven, Shoyu Ashirim, Vayalehem Mikneh Gadol. They were wealthy people, Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. V'chovavu es mamonam, v'yoshvu lehem chutz me'aretz Yisrael. They loved their money, and because they were mechavev, their love of their money, they dwelled on the other side of Eretz Yisrael. U'lefikach golu tchilo mikol ha'shvatim. And that's why when the exile will begin during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, the first to go were Bnei Gad uBnei Reuven. Shene Emar vayiglem l'Reuveni v'logodi v'lochati shevet haMenashe. The Torah describes in Divrei Hayomim that the first ones to be exiled were Reuven and Gad and the chati shevet of Menashe. Migarim lahem. What caused that? Al shehefrishu atzmam min hacheyem v'shvil kinyanam. That they separated themselves from their brothers v'shvil kinyanam, because of their possessions. And so they saw a land and they wanted it and they settled it and they were exiled first from it. I didn't quote the entire Medrash. The Medrash uses the language al shechatfu osam. They didn't receive the land as a gift, but they grabbed it. All the other lands, all the other shvatim, were given the gift of the land, And these two Shvatim, as opposed to being given a gift of a land, they reached out first and grabbed it. And because they reached out first and grabbed it, eventually they did it for their possessions, then they were exiled first.
Why did half of Manasseh get thrown in with the first exile then? Well, they don't come here to...
No, they come in later. That's a whole separate question as to, well, when did they join into this group? But once that group was exiled, it wasn't going to be like separate. That whole group ended up getting, that land was exiled first. So you see Chazal describe in not such flattering terms their love of their possessions. And their love of the possessions caused them to want to grab the land. And indeed actually resulted in them being exiled first. There was another source which was already mentioned. When they come to Moshe and they say, we'll do whatever they ask, they say, Vayikshu Elo Vayomru, Gidros Tzon Nivnele Mekneinu. In source number 3, we will build pens for our flock, the Arim L'Tapenu, and cities for our children. And Moshe, when he responds to them, reverses that order and says, "Benu lechem orim letapchem." What you'll do is you'll build cities for your children, ugderos letzonachem, and then you'll build pens for your flocks, vayotzim mipichem tasu. And that which you've agreed to do to go out and fight, that's what you'll do. And Rashi points out right there on the spot, "Chosim hayu al mamonim yoser mibneihem uvenoseim." You see them more concerned about their flocks than their own children, shehikdimu mikneyam letapam, that they proceeded when they said, we'll build flocks, we'll build pens for our flocks, and cities for our children. Armalei Moshe lo chayinos. So Moshe says, that's not how we do things around here. Ha'ikar, ikar, va'tofel, tofel. You'll make that which is primary, primary, and you'll make that which is secondary, secondary. Benu lecham tchilo arim letapchem. First you'll build cities for your children, and then you'll build pens for your flock. Okay, so if we were to stop here, we would say pretty clear. Pretty clear. What was their agenda?
Get rich.
Stay rich.
Stay rich.
Stay rich, right? When we get rich, it would be stay rich. Right? They got rich.
Somehow they got rich in the desert.
Where did sheep come from?
Yeah, they somehow collected over their 40 years lots of flocks.
It always amazed me to me how they describe it that way, as being, what was the amount of sheep they had as opposed to their...
And they complained about lack of meat while they had all the...
Right, they had all those
things.
So they're interested in maintaining it. They found a land that would allow them to do so. They grabbed it. And Chazal painted in a not such flattering light of they were more concerned with their monetary possessions than their own children, and that was really what caused them to settle there, and that's what therefore caused them to be exiled from there.
Also, we've just had the daughters of Tzlophod who were fighting to be and have a part of the land, and these people are giving up their part of the land.
100%.
Without sight unseen.
100%. So that would be the end of the story, except for the fact that Moshe himself does not understand this as the motive behind Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven is coming forward. Moshe, at the very end of Sefer Devarim, the very last parsha of Vezosa Bracha, gives his final comments to each one of the Shvatim. And he says as follows, it's in source number 6, the top of the second page. Ulagad Omar. What did he say to God? God is the tribe. God and Reuven come forth to Moshe and they say, we want to settle over here. And he says to God, Baruch Marchiv God, blessed, the boundaries of God should be blessed and to expand. Uchlavi Shochein. And should dwell like a lion cub. Vitarav Zeroya Afkat Kod. What's relevant to us is Pasuk Chof Al Vayar Reish Yislo. He saw the first for him, meaning the first to him, first piece of land. Kisham chelkos, because there is the chelek, the portion of the mechokek, the lawgiver, safun, hidden. Vayare shislo, he saw the first should be for him. Kisham, because over there in that first plot of land, chelkos mechokek safun, the plot of the lawgiver is hidden. Says Rashi, what does that refer to? Vayare Shislo, the next line, next source. Ra'a litolo chelik va'aret Sichon va'og. He sought to take for himself a portion in the land of Sichon va'og. Shayare Shis kibush aret, which was the beginning of the conquering of the land. Kisham chelkas mechokek, because there is the portion of the lawgiver. Ki yada, because they knew b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvain, asher sham b'nachal aso, in that portion, chelkas sada kvuras mechokek. There was the portion of the burial ground of the lawgiver. Who's that? The who? Moshe. Safun oso chelkas funa utzmuna mikol beria. That place is going to be hidden from all people. No one knows where Moshe is buried. Shenemar v'lo yada ishes kvuras. So b'nei Gad said, we want that land. Where Moshe goes, we go. And where Moshe will be buried, we'll be buried. Sounds a lot like
Naomi and
Ruth. I'm not talking about, like, where, he's our man.
How do they know?
Well, maybe he wasn't
going to
pass over.
Maybe he wasn't going. He's with them there, so I guess they say that's a fair answer, right?
Yeah,
they know he's not going with them in. They've reached the last stop. They're about to go in. He's going to be buried here somewhere. Moshe says, when he gives his bracha to God, they took the first piece of land because they saw there would be buried myself, the lawgiver, and they wanted to be wherever it was going to be, and it was going to be hidden, they wanted it. Now that's an interesting pasuk, one which we read every year, because that doesn't seem to fit at all with the story that we're given in this week's parsha. When we read B'nei Gad U'B'nei Ruvain, they come forward and they say, we have all this cattle, we need places to graze. This is a great plot of land, and Chazal, seeing it, putting their money before their own children, and they're going to be the exiles first. And Moshe sees, they want it to be with me. And wherever I was going to go, they're going to go. And wherever I stay, they stay. And that doesn't seem to jive.
It does, because he's always seeing the best in B'nai Yisrael.
Okay.
Yes, but you
know, Shiva had a different approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Rashi clearly knew this other pasuk as well, and yet he's still
he still sees. Yes. So says Rashi Shiva. What's the shot here? One is the understanding of these two seemingly disparate versions of what's going on, and how does that drive our story? So Shiva says as follows. First of all, we can't say that B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain like totally lost it for the pursuit of money. It's just hard to address. There's clearly a problem here. There's no question about that. Chazal seen it chasen al mamonim. It wasn't that they became totally blind by money, that their own children were like an afterthought. And he expressed an idea, which, as if we continue this approach in the Rosh Hashiva's Torah, what we'll see is the themes just are interwoven one into another. So he says very briefly here what will be a much longer discussion elsewhere, but the concept of money is not viewed in a negative light throughout the Torah. We find the Avos regularly had great wealth, and their great wealth is mentioned without any embarrassment or apologies from the perspective of the Torah, describing Avram going down to Mitzrayim and coming back with great wealth, Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim with great wealth. It's part of the equation. Yaakov himself, when he crosses over leaving the house of Lavan, leaves a few dollars worth of jugs on the other side and puts a halt on the entire process while he goes back to get them. Chazal actually describes it in source number 8. Vayivaser Yaakov levado. Yaakov was left by himself. The whole battle with the Malach of Esav, the angel of Esav, happens when he's by himself. And Chazal say, what in the world is he doing by himself? He's got 11 children, he's got 4 wives, he's got an entire camp of so you could say, I don't know, I'm not sure what the kashya was, right? Yeah, of course he was by himself. Chazal were bothered by that. They don't understand what he's doing by himself. I'm a revelator. See, that would have answered. We never would have known about the Pachim's Tanim. It had nothing to do with the jugs. It was simply, please, can I have a few minutes of quiet? All right, that's one answer.
I'm getting back to
the Amar Shtayer al Pachim Ktanim. He went back for a few vases, a few jugs. And then Chazal saying in the Sechas Chulin, Mikan l'tzadikim, Shechoviv aleihem mamonam, Yosar migufam. Chazal don't just end there and they say, oh, he went back to get some jugs. Chazal say, you learn from this that the tzaddikim, it is their money is more dear to them than their own physical safety. Chazal see that in a very positive light, that he went back for his money. He protected every cent that he had. Kol kach lama, ask Chazal in the Maseches Chulin, why? Fishin poishtin yadehen begezel. Because if they have it, it was honestly earned. If they have it, it's theirs. And I'll read this Gemara, next Gemara quickly, and again, this should be, this one day we'll get a whole shiur just on this one topic. Yidarish Reb Chanina Bar Papa Oso Malach HaMamuna Al HaHi Rayon Laila Shema. The Gemara says there is a Malach which was in charge of conception. Umamidu Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it would take the newly conceived embryo and place it before the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Gemara says, Va'omer Lefan of Ribono Shel Olam Tipazu Matehei Olah. What's going to be with this child as it just begins its formation? This is one of my favorite Shabbos table questions. Like if I were to stop the Gemara here and say, the Gemara says that there are three questions which are predetermined before you're even born. It's decided in Shemayim. Three things. What are they?
Your wealth.
So you could be, yeah. That's,
your purpose.
I mean, this is clear. Not your purpose. Absolutely
not.
Who
you're going to marry.
Nope.
Your wisdom.
Your wisdom. Your wealth, your wisdom. There's one more.
Well,
that says your strength. If you're looking ahead, you can find it. The Gemara says, "What's going to be?" Well, this is one of my favorite Gemaras as the Rosh Hashiva understands it. Gibor o Cholish, the Gemara asks, is he going to be strong? Is he going to be weak? Chacham o Tipesh, what's his IQ? What is this child's IQ going to be? Determined before you're born.
Way before you're born.
Yeah, I mean, this is at conception. The Gemara says, Ashir o Ani. Will it be wealthy? Will it be poor? Those things are determined. Ain't nothing you can do about it. There are people, they're born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Everything they touch turns to gold. Every endeavor they get involved with succeeds. It's just, I don't understand. I did the same thing he did. Went to the same school, same classes. Did the same SAT score. Everything works. Nothing works. Yeah, it's determined that way. That's the way that it's going to be, says the Gemara. This person's smarter. Like, that's just, I can study as hard as I want. That person does better than me on everything. Yep, that's the way it's going to be. Some people are physically strong. They can just accomplish more because of their brute strength. They just don't have that ability. It's not my makeup to do those things. Yep, those things are determined. The Gemara says, Tzadik Rasha? That's not discussed. That's up to each and every individual. Says Rosh Hashiva, the meaning of this Gemara, and again, this hopefully we have a much longer discussion. Every single individual is given tools for which to accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish in life. And there are tools in life. And your primary tools are your strength, your intelligence, and your wealth. Those are your tools.
So how can you give the tools if you don't know what their purpose is?
Tzaddik or Rasha is up to you.
No, it's not even Rasha, but what you're...
Welcome
what
to life. Welcome to life.
Look at your tools.
Now you got
to
figure out what's in your toolbox and what you need to do with it.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody who doesn't looks in his toolbox and doesn't see any money is not supposed to build buildings and do things. And someone who looks in the toolbox and sees great intelligence, that's your tool. These are your primary tools, your intelligence, your wisdom, your money, and your strength.
Is strength also stamina?
Unclear to me like how many things would fit into that exactly.
I think emotional strength.
I'm sure there's a lot of things. I think so.
I imagine.
Which means when a tzaddik says, "Lo pashtu yadayim begezel," a tzaddik says, "I didn't steal anything." That means every single thing that I own is part of my toolbox of what I need to accomplish, what I need to accomplish in this world. And in the same way, if I would not study as hard as I need to utilize my intelligence, something of what I can accomplish in this world will be lacking because I could have learned more, done more, accomplished more, and I didn't. I had money, and I threw it away. Whatever, when I get up to Shemayim after 120 years, and they say, you could have been this, that money that was flushed down the toilet will impact my end game that I could have been, could have done, and I wasted something. I lost something. I didn't go back and get something, and I left it behind. Because a tzaddik knows that's part of who I am. It's my tool. And I need every tool that I have to accomplish what I need to accomplish. Said the Rosh Hashiva, Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain didn't think their money was more important than their children. They looked at their lot and they said, we have a lot of cattle. They reached a land that looked great for cattle and said to Moshe, this must be destined for us. It has to be. And Rashiva found a fabulous little diuk in the Pesukim that I have to share. I never saw this before myself. I was just like, when I actually had read through the piece a couple of times, I didn't really cap what he was saying until like the second time, third time. Jumped out of my chair when I saw this. Go back to the original Pesukim. Pasuk Beis, Vayavo b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven, Vayomru el Moshe. What happens at this point? B'nei Gad b'nei Reuven, they come, and Vayomru el Moshe. Translate the words, Vayomru el Moshe. How long are they going to be speaking for? Well, until somebody else speaks, right? So they say, Pasuk Gimel, they list all the lands, and Pasuk Dal, they say, Ha'aretz asher yikah Hashem l'snei adas Yisrael, they say, Hashem conquered this land. Eretz Miknehi. Look at what Hashem did. He conquered a land that's perfect for cattle. Vila avadecha mikneh. Pause. There's a break in the Torah. Vayomru, and then they say, Imatsanu chein veinecha. Well, wait a minute. If you are scripting this, you're writing a play, there's something wrong here. What's that?
Did they know that they must be worthy?
Technically.
They should stop and start.
Yeah.
There's no one else.
Correct. There's no one else speaking. They spoke and they said, but they didn't make the request. What did they say? They left it hanging. They said, God just conquered this land. It's perfect for cattle. We have cattle.
That's
correct. Said Rosh Hashiva, and they're assuming what's Moshe thinking?
I should give
of course, that's for you. Except what happens?
Moshe doesn't say anything.
Silence. Vayomru, and then they say, Imatsanu chein beinecha, Yutanesa aretz azos lavadecha. Then they say it outright. Give us this land. Don't make us go over the Yarden. What a godless insight. They don't make the request right away. They just leave it out there because they're thinking, this is so obvious, Moshe. We have all this cattle. Why would the Ribbono Shel Olam give us all this cattle other than to take care of it? God just conquered this land and it's perfect for cattle. And Moshe says
nothing.
Because Moshe's thinking, yeah, we're going there to Israel. I'd die to go there, but I'm not allowed to. And they don't see this as anything. There's just this pause in the Torah. There's an empty space. And then they say again, Vayomru, give us this land. And they try to grab the land. Rosh Hashiva said, there was something there that they understood for their cattle, but there's something that was off. Meaning, they didn't ask a shaila. They didn't say, should we settle this land? They said, give us this land. Now, it wasn't like we care about our cattle and not our children, but there's something about the cattle that pushed them to say, this is better for us. Give it to us. What's that? So Shiva said, that's what's buried in Moshe's statement at the end of Sefer Dvarim. Moshe says, B'nai God saw in this land the burial place of myself, of Moshe, the lawgiver. And they said, that's where we need to be. In that line, he says, is the answer to our problem, which I'm going to introduce, as he does, with one more source. Last source. Moshe gets very angry when he hears this from B'nai God of B'nai Reuven. And he makes a claim that we're familiar with, which I think when you stop and think about, is a strange claim. Very strange claim. Moshe says, Ko asu avo seichen v'sholchi osa mikadesh b'nei liros esa'aretz. Moshe says, what? You want to settle here? This is what your fathers did when I sent them to spy out the land. And then dot, 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 he says, and they left, and they came back, and they gave an evil report, and we have to wander for 40 years. V'hine kamtem tachas avoseichem tarbus anoshim chatoim. You're standing in the place of those men, sinners, lispos od al charon af Hashem el Yisrael, to bring the wrath of Hashem on the Jewish people. Oh, Moshe. Moshe. I mean, if you were there, if you were watching it, you would say like, huh? I mean, those spies, they came back and they said, this place is terrible. We're never going to make it. It eats its inhabitants. We're never going to survive. We have to go back to Mitzrayim. We just said, we're right over here, Jack. We have a lot of cattle.
Not a big river.
Right? It used to be much bigger.
No, this, no,
this is a great land for us. Let's settle here. We'll watch you over. And Moshe says, this is the evilness that your fathers did. What are you talking about, Moshe? What are you talking about? What does it have to do with the Maraglim? Okay, we don't want to go. They want to go. We just want to settle. We're just stopping a little bit early. We're not trying to keep everybody else out. We're not saying the land isn't inhabitable. We're just saying this is perfect for our cattle. But Moshe makes this connection and says, you're doing the same thing. Again, Rosh Yeshiva has a whole piece on the Maraglim, which we'll get to. In short, what's the chet of the Maraglim? The Rosh Yeshiva's approach to the chet of the Maraglim is as follows, and this is going to be part two of what we did last week. There's a fundamental difference between the life the Jews had in the Midbar and the life they were about to encounter in Eretz Yisrael. The life in the Midbar was, in a way, one would have thought, the perfect utopia. Their clothing never wore out. The food fell from the heaven. The waters followed them wherever they went. They have clouds of glory surrounding them. They have the greatest teacher of Torah that ever existed. They have not a concern in the world, in an environment in which they can learn, they can grow, they can steig in ruchnius. They are the most spiritual people that ever existed. And you would say, one would think, perfect. It's the way it should be. It's focused on growth. It's focused on Limud HaTorah. It's focused on everything good. Except, that's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. And the Meraglim, when they get to Eretz Yisrael, and they see the land, and they understand, and again I'm saying this in short, this is a whole much longer thing, all from the Pesukim, it's going to change. It's over. This life that we have, with us as the leaders within this world, will not exist in Eretz Yisrael anymore. It's going to change in a way in which we don't know what that life is like, and it can't possibly be better for us than what we have now. And in short, they basically said, we'll keep what we have now, not interested in that. And in the same way as last week we saw the Medrash, that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, yeah, it's like a chick who's in its nest. And I give you some time, and I want to prepare you, and raise you, and give you whatever you need, and then, slap across the face, go find your own food. It was time to get to Eretz Yisrael, and all the prep, all the training, is in order to be able to live a life in which with their hands, they prepare themselves for what it is that they need. You remember the Medrash we said yesterday, last week? The Medrash darshins the pasuk, when you get to Erkisa, vohu el ha'aretz unitatem. When you get to the land,
plants.
Plants. Plants, plants, plants. Roll up your sleeves, plant a tree. Why? Because we're switching gears. We're switching from a life of the food's fallen from heaven and the water is coming up with you into a life in which you're going to be mekadesh, you're going to sanctify, you're going to work, and you're going to be holy. But I want you to be Anshe Kodesh. I want you to be holy people. Plant. When you think of that language, Unatatem, get to the land and plant. Now go back to Bnei Gad uBnei Ruvein. And what do they want?
There was a lot there for them.
They wanted to graze cattle. They want to plant. They get to the land and they see they have cattle. And they see a land that's perfect for cattle. And they say, this must be what we're supposed to do. We don't want to plant. We don't want to go into that land. We're going to stay right here where our flocks will be taken care of. where we're not going to have to work too hard for our parnasa. And it's been given to us, obviously, for us to be able to focus on our learning, focus on our growth, and not be troubled by having to work with anything. We have cattle. And this land is great for cattle. Keep us in the land that is perfect for cattle. Moshe saw that that comes from a certain place. And it came from a place of Reishis Lo. They saw the first Kisham Chelkas Mechokek Safun. That's the place that Moshe was buried. Moshe represents the Dor HaMidbar. Moshe represents the generation of the deserts, a generation that was taught Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu, a generation that had the Man, a generation that had the Be'er of Miriam, a generation that had the Shechina surrounding them, and B'nei Gad u'B'nei Ruvain said, Moshe understood at the core, at the heart, at the end of Sefer Dvarim, when he recounts this story, he said, you wanted to be with me. He said, where Moshe goes, we go. Where Moshe's buried, we're buried. And that's a land of cattle. It's not a land of rolling up our sleeves and planting. And we have cattle. Must be. That's for us. And they saw in their cattle, Chazal saw, they were concerned with their cattle. Hard to say because they cared more about their money than their children. They saw in that, these are the tools we've been given. It must be. This is what we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to stay in this cattle-driven system and not go into the land.
How did they know the land was going to be even better for their cattle?
I don't know, but they saw
like
land
like
that's perfect.
The first dress.
That's
no, it's like in the first thing that you see. It looked good, so it doesn't matter. I know this is going to work for me. I don't have to
see
further.
That's part of the media that Moshe yelled at them about.
Correct.
Right,
because Hashem,
and what,
but
right.
If they're staying with Moshe instead of staying with Hashem. They didn't say
Hashem. Well, no, that's the problem.
That's what he told
me. Right.
Right.
This is what their cheshbon was.
It's easier to take the first
one. The mistake was, we're on our way to Eretz Yisrael. You have this beautiful cheshbon. You grabbed it. And every other piece of land was given. You saw something, exactly that point, and Chatzfu saw. You grabbed it and said, this is what we want because this keeps us in the system we were in. Together with our Moshe, with our cattle, without having to do anything. And Moshe says, that was the chait of the Meraglim. You are doing the same thing. He said, chait of Meraglim? What are you talking about? No. The Meraglim said, we are not going in. That's a change from this system, and we like this system. We need this system. We're not ready to do anything other than the system. What is it that they need to do to be able to keep this land? Go in and fight.
Work for it.
Right? On the simplest level, you say, as we learn, it makes sense. In other words, why should you be here and have to fight for the land? But it's so much more complex than that. You want to stay here and work your cattle?
Yes.
To do something, you do something first.
You have to plant your right.
Correct. You're not ready to plant the fields. You'll earn it, because we're done with that system.
See what you're going to miss out on.
That's right. We're done with that system. We are heading to Eretz Yisrael, and yeah, it's a new world. It's a new life. It's a new way of relating, and we have to take what we learned in the Midbar and forge a new relationship with the Ribono Shel in that new system. And therefore, you'll fight for 14 years, you'll fight for 7, you'll settle for 7, and then you can go back home. And if you want that land, you can have the land. But the tikkun has to come from rolling up their sleeves and at least doing something. So
also, during that time, you would hope that they would notice that when they traveled in the desert, everyone was equidistant from the Mishkan. And now they are purposely separating themselves further from the Mishkan than anyone else.
That's right. They are farther, and eventually are exiles. They are exiles first, and you know
they have 3 cities of refuge just for themselves.
Correct.
They're more
it is a complex parsha, but the Rosh Hashiva understood. In as much as Chazal see a focus on their money, it was a focus on their money, and it was tied into we need to be where Moshe is buried, because their money wasn't just, that's all we care about. It's,
and
it represented
like
a system.
Bad per se, because if they were using it properly, it's not that it was necessarily
it,
a bad
correct,
thing.
But it represented a system of something that they were supposed to be getting away from and moving into Eretz Yisrael. And
they could have viewed it as, we have all of this cattle and stuff, so we need to be near the Mishkan so we can have it for all the sacrifices. We need to be there. You know, they chose to see it the way they chose to see it.
They
when
did.
Moshe was speaking a little bit roughly, he wasn't necessarily being complimentary.
Correct.
He was expressing.
He was sharing why they.
What was the underlying motive that drove them to see their cattle as being so significant that they need to take care of it? Is, well, this must be what, this is our tool. We have to do everything to keep it and to keep that whole mahalach, as opposed to saying, I don't know what's going to happen to this. Just like what's going to happen to the man. All right, so we'll do it in Eretz Yisrael. That's the goal. And then cut it short and grab something which allowed them to hold on to their cattle in the way that it was, which was represented by Moshe and all that he represented. They said, we're not leaving him. If Moshe stays here, we're staying here. And all that was represented by the neighbor. That is his understanding of this parsha.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.